Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Beacon Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Emily and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourselves during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help others, alcoholics, to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps, as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and have had a spiritual awakening and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. So the chat remains open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from our AA literature. Let's see, our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we split into breakout rooms for small group discussion. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. And when you share, please be sure that your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. I have asked Mitzi to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Come on in, Mitzi.
Thanks, Emily. I'm Mitzi. I'm an alcoholic. These are the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Mitzi. Now we will hear a talk on step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So let's give a warm welcome to Alex D. from Northridge, California. Welcome, Alex.
Hi, Alex, alcoholic. Can everyone hear me? Great. I'm just going to move my face so I don't look at it. It's really good to be here. I spoke at this meeting, I don't know, maybe like a year, year and a half ago, maybe more. It's a little blurry. My friend Kyle from Portland, Oregon was booking speakers for this meeting for a while. And he and I share a home group. It's a men's group on Wednesday night on Zoom book study. And I think I shared about the 10th step at the time. Anyways, it's good to be back. I've also listened to this meeting. you know, the just listen to speakers while driving or, you know, or jogging or whatever. And I've always gotten a lot out of it. So thank you, Kim, for asking me to come back and to speak on step three. Before I get to that, my sobriety date is May 6, 2010. My sponsor is Chaz F. Like I said, I have a home group and I've always made it a habit to have a home group. And I'm fortunate enough to currently work with a couple of sponsees. So in terms of step three, I made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. It's a step that I you know, really, I mean, I like all the steps, you know, and I understand their purpose, but I think this one is one that that has become really close to my heart, I guess, in the sense that it's something that I'm kind of recommitting to on a daily basis. And I'll get to that, but that, you know, that positive feeling towards a step was not always the case. And actually it was quite the opposite. You know, when I came in here, this was one of the steps that scared me. And so for anyone who feels that way, I totally get it. And, you know, being around a bunch of other alcoholics over the years, it seems that for some people that is the case, not for everyone. But the good news is that I was able to, you know, proceed with the steps and I've been sober and, you know, feel really, really grateful for the program of Alcoholics Anonymous for being an active member of it and, you know, for the life it's given me. I think the first time I took the third step, I actually don't remember, but I did do it. I must have done it in some capacity, but I was in rehab. I was in my early 20s. I'd gotten a couple of DUIs. One of which was, you know, a bad car crash involving someone else. And there was a felony DUI. I was still on probation for the first one. So it was just like a really big mess. And I was, you know, in this rehab, in this treatment center. I had to finish it. Otherwise, you know, I would have to go back to jail. And so I did give this program my best shot at the time. You know, it was the first time I'd been to meetings prior to that, but it was the first time where I was like, you know, I've lost so much. I'm in such trouble. Like, I really got to give this a shot and I have nothing else to do, you know? And it was one of those treatment centers where, you know, your kind of privileges are based around, you know, getting a sponsor and making your way through the steps. And so I did that. And I remember my fourth step with that sponsor and in that treatment center, but I don't remember my third step. And it's probably because I was so full of kind of prejudice towards, you know, any spirituality, any religion, all of that stuff that, like, I don't know, I must have just said it or something. But I honestly don't remember. It was like 15, 16 years ago. So anyways, I left that treatment center. Like you can kind of tell, I was a little bit half-assing it, and had a lot of reservations. And so within a couple months of leaving the treatment center, I ended up drinking again. And I would drink for another like 9 months and hit another bottom. And then I came into the rooms really, really beat down and, you know, really hopeless. And within a couple of weeks, I met my sponsor, who's still my sponsor today. And so at the time, you know, I'd lost my license and, you know, I had this little job that I was going to, and I didn't have a whole lot. But I really wanted to be sober. Actually, I really didn't want to keep living the way I was living. You know, I didn't really understand what a sober life was quite yet. But my sponsor was kind enough to take me to this meeting on a weekly basis, which was his home group. It's called the Solutions Group in North Hollywood, California. And so the deal was he would pick me up. We lived kind of close to each other, and I would read the big book in his car, and we would, you know, we'd grab a bite before the meeting and then go to the meeting. And we, you know, that's how we made our way through the book. And that's how I take guys through the steps now, is just, you know, kind of reading the first few chapters. And, you know, talking about it, you know, if I had any questions or concerns. And he's amazing. And he was always full of insight and sharing his experience and being really supportive. And it became pretty clear to him early on that I had, you know, kind of an aversion to anything spiritual, anything with the word God. And he, you know, he acknowledged that, but he also said, like, let's just keep going, you know? So we eventually got to the part of the big book on step three, you know, which, you know, I have one of these little ones. So in my book, it's page 63 and how it works. And you know, I really like the couple chapters that precede the actual step three, where, you know, where it talks about our troubles we think are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic's an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything else, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. And there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. And then, you know, on the top of 63, when we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. You know, and then we were now at step three, and then there's a step three prayer. And so, you know, this idea of like selfishness and self-centeredness was starting to become really clear to me. How much of a prison it had really created for me, and how much of a, and why that was a big, you know, source of my drinking and wanting to self-medicate, is that I was just really, you know, it was the bondage of self. And but not knowing that and not knowing how to treat that in any way growing up, you know, that so I relied on, you know, outside things and eventually drugs and alcohol. And here this book was telling me that, you know, an answer to that was to have a higher power, which again I was really reluctant to believe could apply to me. I associated that with so many other things, which I've since come to realize was just kind of a delusion of my own making. But anyways, I vividly remember, you know, within a couple months we had gotten to this part in the book, and he parked his truck and we sat in it, we read this, we held hands, you know, and that was that. I didn't fully buy what this was saying, like the idea of like turning our will and our lives over to the care of God, just as we understood him, like none of that made sense for me at the time. Like, but my sponsor, you know, pointed out that, you know, one way to look at it was this idea that like, I am just willing to continue, working the steps. That's it. Because it says in step 12 that we'll have a spiritual experience, like you said at the top of the meeting. And so instead of, you know, this kind of like blanket decision of like turning, you know, my will and my life over to God, which felt abstract and scary and all these things, and not even understanding my higher power, it was much easier for me to just say like, okay, I'm now just going to move to step four, you know? And so I did, you know, and I worked on that step four for a while, and eventually, you know, did my fifth step with him, which that was something that I was able to feel more of a physical reaction to, and I guess spiritual. And ultimately I went through with the rest of the steps. So another thing that I really had a lot of judgment about when I came in here was this idea of like, being fake and not being, you know, real or whatever, you know. And I remember talking to some guys about step three, and I think somebody said, you know, you can fake it till you make it, which was like, you know, it's just like the last thing I wanted to hear. But in this case, it kind of applied. Like, I could just, even though I hadn't had a spiritual experience, even though I, you know, didn't really have a higher power that I understood, or that, you know, I was willing to turn my life and will over to, I could just say that I did. And you know, it says in the step three chapter in the 12 and 12, like, there's a cool line that says, there's only one key, and it's called willingness. Once unlocked by willingness, the door opens almost of itself. I think it talks about, you know, just like, even, or at least the way I pictured it was like, even if I just like put the key in, or even if like the door just slightly opens, it's something, you know. And I did feel like that was happening, even though, you know, I kind of felt like I was faking it. So that was my first step three experience, you know. And, you know, lo and behold, like, over the course of the rest of the steps, I became more willing to not only to continue with the steps, and you know, kind of start using the tools of this program in my life, but also to just kind of be open, more open-minded to what spirituality meant. And you know, a cool thing that I got a lot out of was like, I was listening to a lot of speaker tapes at the time, and I actually still do. It's just always been kind of part of my program. And I would start paying a little bit more attention to people's conception of a higher power when they shared, you know, and between that and working the rest of the steps and talking to other guys, like, the door just kept opening more and more, you know? And so I started cobbling together a conception of a higher power. Like, I call it like a Frankenstein higher power, because I would just kind of pick things that I liked that I heard. And so by the time I came to step 12, I really felt like I had a spiritual experience, you know, or at least I had some form of spirituality in my life, which, you know, I totally didn't have when I was working the first few steps, and I didn't think I would ever have, you know, before I came in here. And that spirituality has evolved over the years, and it's taken all kinds of shapes and sizes, and but I've never given it up, you know. And you know, another powerful step three experience that I had was that within my first year of recovery, I moved overseas. I followed a girl to South Korea. We had started dating, and then she left, and then, like I said, I didn't have much going on here. And so, you know, I found out that there were meetings there. And so I left, and I joined her in Seoul, South Korea. And there were these daily meetings held at the USO there, which was like, you know, part of like the US military like compound they had there. And there was a beginner's meeting on I forget if it was like Tuesday or Wednesday night, but I was in my first year of sobriety. And so this felt like the right meeting. And at that meeting, the format was that you would read out of 12 and 12 steps 1, 2, 3, and then tradition 3, one once a week. So every 4 weeks, you'd go back to one of those steps. And so every 4 weeks, we'd go back to step 3. So I read that chapter, you know, however many times, and that I ended up going to that meeting for like almost 2 years, the whole time I was there in Korea. And I became secretary of that meeting. And so, you know, having to reread that step over and over was also part of something that helped again, open the door and hear people within that room share about either their aversion to any spirituality or different experiences. Some people had prior spiritual experiences before coming into AA and would talk about how they kind of like work that into their current program. Or some people were talking about like, I don't know, being part of different religions. And it was just, and I, like I said, I had become more open-minded along the way. So it was just totally open to hearing, talking about it. And it was really refreshing. And there's like a bunch of parts that I, that still to this day that I really, really like, and one that helped, you know, is when they kind of talk about this idea of like, which was a fear of mine of like dependence on something, you know, I wanted to be like, you know, strong and dependent and independent and whatever, all that, you know, kind of old ideas that I had. And I really like this part that says, and the facts seems to be the, and the facts seem to be these, the more we became willing to depend upon a higher power, the more independent we actually are. Therefore, dependence as AA practices it is really a means of gaining true independence of the spirit. And another part that I liked was, we are certain that our intelligence backed by willpower can rightly control our inner lives and guarantee us success in the world we live in. This brave philosophy wherein each man plays God sounds good in the speaking, but it still has to meet the acid test. How well does it actually work? One good look in the mirror ought to be answer enough for the alcoholic. Oh, and the other one that I really like, because I do feel this way. So it is by circumstance rather by any virtue that we have been driven at AA, that we have admitted defeat, have acquired the rudiments of faith, and now want to make a decision to turn our will and our lives over a higher power. Like, I to this day feel really fortunate that I got here and stayed here. And I don't believe that it's completely of my own making, but partially, you know, I have, you know, done the work and but I know that in large part, you know, circumstances got me here and some kind of something bigger than myself has gave me, you know, the moment to believe that like this thing could work for me, which got me to, you know, my second meeting and, you know, to my first meeting and then to my second meeting and so forth. The way step three works in my life today, you know, in addition to having a prayer and meditation practice, which to me is just, you know, meditating for a few minutes in the morning and meditating for a few minutes in the evening. I've incorporated different daily readings that I read in the morning and then I kind of reread in the evening. Some are like from Hazel Dean and some are like daily newsletters and I've kind of rotated them over the years. And it's something I can kind of hold on to a little bit and have some intentions about as I go through my day and then reflect on at the end of the day. But as a friend of mine who actually went to that treatment center with me all the way back those 15 years ago and who has stayed sober since, he talks about, you know, taking that time in the morning to reconnect with our higher power and to make that decision again, to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand him for that day, you know, which, you know, I'm such a firm believer in, like, you know, doing things a moment at a time or a day at a time. It's something I talk to new guys about all the time, because I think one thing that scared me so much coming in here was this idea of like, how can I stay sober, you know, for the rest of my life? Or how can I get through, or this idea of like, I'm going to feel this bad always, you know, like I was always stuck with this idea of like, whatever difficult thing I'm going through is not going to end, you know, which is proven not to be true at all, you know, and one of the great things my sponsor told me early on was like, everything is a beginning, a middle, and an end, which sounds like something you would say to a child, but that's basically what I needed to hear and something I still repeat to myself. But by the same token, I need to do the work on a daily basis. And one of the key pillars of that work is to connect to a higher power and my version of that. And so it's something, you know, that has become like second nature. Like just like a lot of other people, my head starts going pretty fast, right? When I, you know, my eyes open in the morning, and it's like always things to do, you know, like I have young kids and I want to make coffee and I want to like check the news and go on a run or whatever, like things that are all good things. But I also know that, my sobriety is contingent on the maintenance of my connection with my higher power. And one way to really commit to that is to take a moment and really acknowledge that. For me lately, that's been like, because it's been so hot here in LA and I guess in a lot of places, but it's been going outside early in the morning and just sitting. And, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, like I found a lot of spirituality in just being mindful of the world around me, in nature and the environment. Yeah, trying to be really, really mindful. So that's my daily step three now. I'm just, you know, it's baffling that one, that I've stayed sober this long and that I have the life that I have and that, you know, I'm not, you know, in jail and institution or dead, you know, because those were all real possibilities. But it's also amazing, and I guess one is related to the other, that I've had a spiritual experience. I continue to have a spiritual experience, and like I wouldn't give up that part of my life for anything. Like and it's only grown over the years, like, you know, and it's something that my sponsor and I have great conversations about. People I work with, sponsees and other new guys I talk to, it's not something I try to like front load, especially when they're new, but when they're ready to talk about spirituality, like it's a topic that I find really fascinating, even though I realize everybody's journey is their own, like, and it's an individual experience, but just to talk about it, because like I said, it was so helpful for me to hear all these other people be open about their relationship to their higher power. And like today, like I'm looking forward to in the breakout rooms to hear about people's experience with step three, because I find that really, really interesting. And just like we identify, you know, with our experiences with drugs and alcohol, I think a big part of AA is identifying with, you know, our lives sober and working the steps and how we incorporate them in our lives. So I think that's it. I don't know where I'm at with my time, but I feel like I've said enough. Thank you for listening. I hope that was helpful to someone. And yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much, Alex. That was wonderful. Thank you.